was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky, through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever breakdanced at Walmart. Today's title is The Great Communicator versus the Great Tweetinator, an excellent electoral 80s adventure. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the man so talkative that the Blarney Stone actually kissed him. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
You're waiting for something.
I'm waiting for
You're waiting for some, like, yeah, smart
witty
alecky.
Witty retort.
The Blarney Stone, that's like an Irish, that's a real thing. You're supposed to kiss the Blarney Stone, I guess, if you're back there.
And you can get the gift of gab.
Right.
I think that's
It has to do with talking?
I thought that's how it worked.
Did you research any of this?
No! What? Research? What's that for?
Okay. But that's, yeah, it's a real stone.
It's an actual thing, yeah. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, our main event will examine a seismic electoral shift in Kentucky since 1980. We will also hear a child's take on McDonald's prices before the great inflation wave of the 70s, which hit the 80s later. And along the way...
Mathematically, that makes perfect sense.
I think it does, doesn't
After
it?
After the 70s so, came the 80s.
So far, so good on our mathematical principles. But don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real, only the sponsorship is fake.
Hello, friends. Payless is your headquarters for discount Christmas gifts. A wooden nut bowl set, $3.77. A Le Pot replacement bowl. Fits most all coffee makers, $2.49. Coffee filters, 89 cents. And porcelain duck with lint brush, $1.97. Savings good through Tuesday, December 11th. Use our layaway. Payless, your headquarters for discount Christmas gifts.
What's the date on this thing?
That is 1984.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so a replacement coffee bowl, this is the gift that you're giving your loved one?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Coffee filters?
There's some bird seed.
Yeah, they've got bird seed there. They've got...
We've gotten to the point where we remember this stuff, and the prices now seem hilariously low.
Now, that's true, and we will talk inflation here in a moment.
But we're just old, too.
That's part of it. This wooden nut bowl set, I'm going to tell you right now, everybody in my family had one of these things. Did you have those?
Oh, yeah, the cracker.
You and then there's all these other accessories. Like, I don't even know what you do with them all.
You're supposed to dig with those. You can clean your teeth, or you can dig your nut out of your shell.
Not in the same session, though,
those
right?
Those were things like, maybe. I remember those clearly. Your grandma had those things laying around. Like, what is this little stabbing utensil?
What about this fake duck? We also had a fake duck. Do you remember those? What was that about?
The porcelain duck with the lint brush?
Porcelain duck with lint brush.
Well, isn't it just a lint brush?
Well, I think
it looks like a duck.
I thought it was a porcelain duck that came with a lint brush. I don't know what I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's decorative and utilitarian.
Bottom line is, don't give that to anybody.
I don't know. I think it's just a lint brush, but really heavy lint brush.
Okay, well, that actually makes more sense than just a decorative duck.
And cassette tapes, though.
Yep, 77 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need 60 minutes. Sometimes you need 90.
Well, yeah, 90 is for the good stuff.
Well, yeah, if you needed to,
your favorites.
You're dubbing somebody's. That's what we did in the 80s. We dubbed it.
Yeah.
Right? We dubbed your cassette. Make me a copy, they'd say.
Yeah. Yeah, that was illegal, however. So you didn't do it.
Now,
seriously.
No, you're right.
Throw you in jail kind of stuff, right?
What I did, though, you probably did this. I'd listen to the radio, wait for that song I wanted, and then I'd very quickly hit record. Did you do that?
Yeah, and you always cut off the first three notes.
Right. First 2 seconds of the DJs on there.
Yeah, that was it. And There was a Christmas ad that also happened to be an 80s ad, which means we've got a Christmas episode coming up one podcast after this podcast.
Yes, the next one.
Uh-huh. Be on the lookout for it just in time for the holiday season out there.
We haven't done that before, like a holiday.
No, it's our very first ever Christmas special. We have jumped the shark straight into Christmas.
No, that's okay. A Christmas special, 40 episodes in, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. Right now, though, it is time to hear the cutest segment in the history of history podcasts.
Kidstorians. It's about food.
Oh, it's a McDonald's ad. They're saying 39 cents some fries and 39 cents a cheeseburger. Everything back then was, like, very cheap, so you can buy stuff for an extremely low price.
How much is it? Very close. Try again. 39 cents for a cheeseburger and french fries.
Yeah, and that's their specials, too. Okay. Let's see how that turned out.
He's like, okay, we're done.
He knew that he
Give
nailed
the next
it.
One.
He totally knew that he nailed it. And it was smart that he noticed the inflation and the low prices. We just mentioned that ourselves.
Yeah, they could put that into place. 39 is really low, though, even for the 80s, I would think, right? Sandwich fries.
Yeah. That's and special, that's because though. This is a 1967 ad. And what we're showing there is the difference even between the 60s and the 80s. Prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have run you a few bucks.
Okay.
You know, $2-3 probably in the 80s.
I don't remember that weird M, too, on McDonald's.
That but is a weird M.
You know, I think they built a lot of those things back then, though. They had the arch.
On the side of the store,
on both sides, and I think they're trying to replicate that.
That's exactly what they're doing with that particular logo there. So that's a little bit different. Yep, that was an ad from Hopkinsville. So if you were in Hopkinsville in 1967, you could have picked up a combo for 39 cents.
Do you like the filet of fish?
I'm not a big fish guy.
No fish?
I can do the chicken. I do like hamburgers, not necessarily their hamburgers.
Come on now. Come on. Don't take on corporate McDonald's. Are you saying that maybe McDonald's hamburgers aren't that great?
I'm saying I like the fries.
Yeah, the fries are good, universally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And I think we're ready for the moment we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one.
Brent, just in now, thanks to your rousing endorsement of McDonald's, we got a brand new sponsor, Wendy's.
All right. I guess that is a main event worthy, isn't it? Actually, our real main event has to do with a seismic electoral shift in Kentucky politics since 1980. We have some numbers here from the 2016 election that we were going to compare with the 1980 election, and I think we will see a fairly stark difference between the two. So if we start off with 2016, if we take a county like Ballard County, for example.
We're talking about Kentucky counties.
Kentucky counties.
There's 120 counties in Kentucky for some
120
reason.
120 counties. If we leave your county out of this today, that's just because of the constraints of time. It's not because we don't like your particular county. We
like
love all 120 Kentucky counties.
It's a lot, doesn't it?
It is a lot. It is the third most in the United States.
Boy, you were on top of that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot.
It's a whole lot. Texas has more than we do, and
Texas is gigantic.
Yeah, we are not. Georgia has more than we do, but then it's us, and we are third on the list.
Okay.
And I think if you do per capita, we have the most. So if you sort of take the population size into consideration,
I think they kind
counties
of tried
per
to
population, yeah,
like incentivize counties combining, and it never happened.
There was a movement
Wasn't
like that
recently.
It was kind of recent. It was kind of like the middle third of the 20th century or something. And they had a plebiscite about it, and it was overwhelmingly defeated.
Uh huh.
It came out, you know, like it, in theory, people love the idea of having fewer counties, but then they say
there's a financial benefit to that,
of course. And then they say, don't get rid of my county. Yeah, like everybody else should consolidate their counties.
Yeah, it's like a high school. You know, they feel a sense of pride and connection.
Right.
Sure.
And the government is closer to them in that sense. I mean, that's a real thing. You probably know the people who are the county clerks.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't.
You're comfortable.
If you consolidated the right. thing. But we do. We have 120 counties. So we'll pick a few of these counties.
Keep going.
And we'll just look here. So Ballard County, for example, there was about a 3-1 margin for Trump over Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh.
That is what we would expect. We would expect today that's the outcome that we would see in a place like Ballard County. Might not have been the case back in 1980, as we will see. Or if we look here at Callaway County, we see 10,000 votes for Trump, and we see about 5,000 for Clinton. So that's about a 2-1 margin in Callaway County.
About those big ones?
The big counties. So you're talking maybe Fayette County, for example. Well, Fayette County, home of Lexington, named for the Marquis de Lafayette way back in the American Revolution. We see here that Hillary Clinton won that by a margin of 69,000 to 56,000, so.
We'll keep that in mind.
Keep that in mind. Clinton won Fayette. By a fairly healthy margin, 10,000 votes or so. And then you probably want to look at Jefferson County down there. And Jefferson County, Hillary Clinton was running about 190,000 votes there. And we had about 143,000 votes for Donald Trump.
That's Louisville. That's
the Louisville area. You know, that's the big prize, city. Of course. It's the one city, big city, that we've got for sure. And if we come here to our home county of McCracken County, we see here that Trump won that by about a 2-1 margin,
right?
20,000 to 9,000. So then if we maybe shift over to our 1980s numbers.
You said Ballard.
Yeah, we said Ballard County. And if we look here, we see the tables have been turned. If we turn back the clock.
Right, going backwards.
Mm-hmm. So in this case, that was Carter and Reagan is the 1980 election. Carter was the incumbent. Reagan is the challenger. And we notice there that Carter won that county, Ballard County, 2,500 to 1,100. It's a complete
reversal.
Yeah, really 180 degrees out of phase.
Right. Now, it took 38 years to get there, 36.
It did, which really is not that long of time in sort of a historical context.
Right.
I mean, you know, in a way, that is a long time ago, but in another way, it's one lifetime, half a lifetime, however you want to think about
right,
that.
Right, for the mood or the political disposition of that area.
Yeah.
To completely flip.
Yeah, yeah, you're talking the grandparents are voting one way, the grandchildren are voting a completely opposite way. That's a little bit noteworthy. If we see Callaway County there, which we mentioned earlier, we see that Carter won that 6,800 to 4,400. Again, that's a pretty healthy margin for Carter. And then what about the big ones, Jason said? We got to get to the big ones at some point.
So Fayette.
Fayette County, and we would see there that Reagan won Fayette County.
Which went the other way, okay.
And Clinton won it in 2016. So you see that, and that's a fairly healthy margin too, 5,000 votes worth, 35,000 to 30,000 votes. And then you come down here to Jefferson County. This is amazing by today's standards.
Right.
Razor thin margins, but we see that Reagan won Jefferson County. That's the Louisville area now.
Uh-huh.
127,000 to 125,000. That is really a big shift.
Yeah, because we're kind of seeing if we lump them together as more rural areas, simplified, you know,
went
from Democrat, Republican, and then larger cities, at least in this case, these two are those counties, Republican, Democrat.
It's a complete and utter reversal of fortune. And then if we come down to our McCracken County, that is our home county, we see that Carter carried that 13,000 to 10,000. Once again, it's the same pattern where we see it repeat itself once again.
So I suppose you want to bite a big chunk off of the political spectrum here and try to explain all this. Just leave me out of it completely, Ren. Why don't you?
Politics
and whatnot.
I'm not leaving you out
of this.
I thought
we were going to talk about the 80s. Parachute pants and, you know,
this is the
different
80s.
Strokes.
Go on. This is different strokes for different folks at the electoral booth.
I did not plan that, but you're right. Good. Your pun paid off.
Well, they usually do.
Yeah.
And but these are 1980 numbers, and they're just really amazing to look at. To think of a Republican candidate waltzing into Louisville and coming out of there with more votes than the Democratic candidate in 2016 is really almost impossible to imagine. I mean, you would be thinking that, you know, this person doesn't know what they're talking about, or they're naive, or they're completely out of sync with politics or something. But that's what we saw there. And but it's kind of funny. I'll go ahead.
Maybe they defined themselves differently, though, you know, 40 years ago, the way that the Democrats and Republicans were just sort of organized or defined as groups, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And
that's 100% true.
It just changes. It morphs over time based on social events. Things happen.
Reactions to certain things that come along.
Right,
of course.
Right.
Yeah, all those things can happen. Like one event can shift electoral fortunes.
Or one elected person in particular, or the way we approach union labor even, just to pick one thing out.
All that's true. I'll take the way you approach a person thing out of there. And we've talked about that before on these podcasts, which is Ronald Reagan was something of a transformative figure.
Right.
And this didn't begin with Reagan, really. We could see it happening maybe more in the 1960s, too, like where it was starting. With Reagan, we see that he's a 49 state winner in 1984. So there was something about him that just really was transformative.
Right. Well, maybe there's just something about Mondale. Wasn't real popular.
In
1984.
That might have been the case.
Well,
only the people of Minnesota.
Yeah.
We're down with
that
guy.
Was he from Minnesota?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That hurts when your own state doesn't go for you. I think it happened to Gore, right?
It did, and we've seen that happen a couple of times now. It happened with Paul Ryan. He lost Wisconsin as a vice presidential candidate.
You're right, yeah.
So we are more polarized now for sure.
So in 1980, I mean, just in total, did Kentucky go Reagan in 1980?
We went Reagan. We used to actually be a bellwether.
Right.
This is an interesting shift for Kentucky. Now, today you would consider Kentucky a red state.
Sure.
Just completely a red state and not a blue or a purple state or anything of that, but solidly red. Like you could just count it, ring it up for Trump on the reelection campaign and a whole bit. But back then, it was even more than a swing state. It was a bellwether, which means you vote with the winner every single time there's an election. So that was different for us than it is now.
And it feels like your vote counts in that kind of situation.
Oh, and it absolutely counted.
Right.
And if you want to know an example of that, people like Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush showed up here to campaign.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really happen so much anymore.
Yeah, a little small electoral number.
Yeah, and especially one that's in the bag. If it's small, you might get a visit like New Hampshire if it might switch.
Right.
But, I mean, they know that Kentucky's not going to switch, so it would be a waste of time to try to go there and do those things.
So you kind of get left out, too, of the process.
Yeah. And then I guess another thought about this is, really, the politics of Kentucky's people haven't changed that much. If you look back at the very beginning, we were supporters of the Democratic Republican Party. We're talking 1800.
Yeah.
The very beginning. And then after that, we were supporters of the Jacksonian Democrats. Then it was solidly Democratic forever and ever and ever and ever. There was a brief period around the turn of the century where we flirted with the Republican Party, but then went back to the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Democrat, 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 Democrat. And then in these more recent years, it's really only been the last two, three, four election cycles.
Yeah.
Because we were voting with the winner still, even into the 1990s. But since the 90s, we've kind of veered off towards the Republican Party.
Right.
And the thing that all of those parties have in common is they were the conservative parties.
Yeah.
Every one of them. The Jeffersonian Republicans, the old school Democrats, and then today's Republicans. So the parties are the ones who change.
Right. Kind and so if you agree in a certain way, then you've got to change your label.
And that's what
it just happens to you.
Yeah.
Your label changes, even though you may not.
Well, that's what Reagan said. He said that he didn't leave the Democratic Party. Democratic Party left him. That was how he phrased that. And he actually mentioned that in the 1984 campaign, which we talked about on this show. He was in Louisville saying, look, this happened to me. I know what's happening to you.
Oh, right.
Come vote with me.
He addressed it. That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not personally, but I remember that he did that.
You weren't there.
I was like, I'm a little kid. Who is this person?
Sure. And I think now, though, we probably need to pay some bills, don't we? We probably better. Got to keep the lights on around here.
For your pretend money.
Pretend money.
Oh, finally, something 80s.
Pretend products.
Or something fun.
This is fun, and it is 80s. It fills both of those voids. Breakdance contest, Saturday, August 18th at 11 a.m., Walmart and Irvin Cobb Drive. We've got three divisions, 5 to 10, 11 to 15, and 16 to adult, with three prizes awarded in all those categories. Dancers will perform to tunes from Breakin' or Beat Street. Call to register.
Boy.
Dancers will have a platform stage that will enable all attending to see.
Well, that would be good.
Actually, maybe you wouldn't want them to see it.
It was big, though. I mean, it was big.
That was a big phenomenon.
Yeah, breakdancing.
It tickles me that Walmart jumped on that bandwagon.
They totally did.
And they're saying, hey, if you're going to be breakdancing anyway, you might as well be breakdancing near housewares.
I guess it's in the parking lot, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. It must be.
Probably in August, it's Saturday.
Because they're not going to put it in the main aisle, right?
Yeah,
or are they? A platform? No, it's out in the parking lot.
I would put it in the parking lot. 16 to adult.
Yeah. So could you imagine,
an adult out there?
Was there a 40-year-old in 1984 who was going to get out there and break dance?
Right.
I wonder who that was. Was that you?
Well, I mean, there were video cameras. There were some. Some people had them. Maybe
they had the great big shoulder-mounted thing. It looked like a bazooka. Yeah, that's 100% correct.
Yeah, they were rare, but they existed.
You remember them, and people did have those videos.
Oh, sure, they'd walk around with these monstrous. It had a full-size VH tape in it,
yes,
it was.
Yes, it did.
Oh, boy. There was always one guy in your school who could do it. We'd make a ring around him at the dance, and he'd break dance.
He was the break dancer.
That guy. I want to be him.
But you didn't want to be the guy who wore the Michael Jackson jacket, right?
No. That's a little different. But dancing, you want to be the cool guy.
That definitely was cool back then.
I guess breakdancing was cool for I don't know if it was cool. Cool for a year.
Probably.
And then continued on for a few more years.
Much like the Baby Shark of today's era.
Baby Shark?
Yes.
Oh, I think I know Baby Shark.
You probably do.
Okay. If you mean the song Baby Shark, Mama Shark.
That's it. That's the one. And now it is time for the moment that Jason has been dreading the entire show, the takeaway.
Okay. Didn't think about it. Baby Shark, huh?
Baby Shark.
Yeah.
Is that the takeaway?
I guess.
It's the only thing on people's mind right now.
Well, it's
as soon
the last
as you hear
thing
it, you
I
can't
heard.
Think about it.
Right.
Indeed.
I don't want to say anything. I said all my deep things about the election. You know.
You did. You got them all out, didn't you? So we'll just leave it at Baby Shark.
I did. I would like to see a resurgence of this. Sometimes things come back. Breakdancing needs to come back.
Breakdancing to Baby Shark.
Right.
Make it happen out there, America. We have now turned to the final page of this chapter, but never fear, Old Kentucky Tales never fails to return. You can download even more episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. Over 40 episodes now. That's insane. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or rate us. If you did not like what you heard, no way you made it to this point in the podcast. Special thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong. the Paducah School of Art and Design, WKMS, and the rest is history.